We have one of these mixed blessings today because Charlie Bircher, who's been here a long time, in and out of here, moving different places, but he and Karen, who they just recently got married, are moving out west to Oregon. So I wanted him to share a little bit about his testimony, and so he's going to come on up now and share a bit about his testimony, how the Lord has touched and changed his life. Let's welcome Charlie.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, a lot of you know me, a few of you may not. I'm Charlie Bircher, and I do go way back with this church. Some of the founders, like Jack and Jane Burton and the Tiptons, I went to an Episcopal church with them before this church was founded, and when I found out that they were a part of this, I said, I've got to go there because I know it's going to be good, and I was right, definitely right. I don't have a lot of time here. Little bit about me. Most people know that maybe have seen me play the violin over here from time to time. I've been a musician and a professional most of my life. But in the midst of that, I've also been, in some particular order, an altar boy, a Boy Scout, a dishwasher, a busboy, an inter-office messenger, a delivery boy, a lube rack technician at a car dealer, a pizza delivery boy, a construction laborer, a commercial roofer, a furniture salesman, a car salesman, a motorcycle salesman, and a musician. But now on to the important stuff. I started going to church with my grandmother when I was two, when I was old enough to walk and she could drag me. We went every Sunday to Sunday school and church, God bless her heart, for doing that for me. And at six, I became an altar boy in the Methodist church we attended. God started communicating with me and pulling at my heart at an early age. I can remember being up there around the altar and having a burning heart, and God just pulling at my heart. I really wasn't even really exactly sure exactly what's going on. I knew it was from Him, but I didn't take it to the next level at that point, but it was there. And when I became 20, is when I had my salvation experience. I had a good friend of mine who had gotten involved with a woman who was heavily into the cult, and she had scared him terribly. And he came running to me, frightened out of his wits. And I had him stay at my parents' house with me for a couple of days until a pastor could come over who knew something about that stuff and could talk to him. This was all supposed to be for him, not me. Anyway, what ended up happening was the pastor came over and brought a couple of people from his church with him. And the end result was that my friend, myself, and his brother all ended up getting saved on my living room floor. I'll be all right. Sorry, it was very emotional, a lot of stuff here. Anyway, I didn't have to leave my own house. Jesus came to me. It was very powerful. I guess he had waited for me for a long time, so I remember even before the pastor had a chance to lead me in a sinner's prayer, I remember I said, "Oh Lord, I surrender," and the Holy Spirit just sat me. Everything went bright white, and I just felt the heat of the Holy Spirit go through my body and wash me clean. And I was a very transformed man from that moment on. Radical. Not everybody has that kind of experience, but that was my experience. Anyway, I started going to the Episcopal church that I got one. I knew I was going to need it. Anyway, I started going to Episcopal church that pastor was the head of, and that's where I met the Burtons and the Tiptons. And I became an altar boy again at the age of 21. At 22, I became an elder of that church because they asked me to do it, and I said sure. And I had a lot of very close times with the Lord during that time. And God opened the Bible to me and the Word of God and just ministered to me, and that Word just soaked right into my heart. As I read the Bible, it just came alive. And I was even playing in a nightclub, playing country music. And on the breaks, I would go outside to my car and read the Bible. And God was ministering to me so much, I just lost track of time. And all of a sudden, the dome light of the car clicked off. And I felt a presence in the back seat. And I turned around, there wasn't anybody there. But I went, oh my gosh, look at the time. And I ran back in there and got through the door of the club just in time to see the band leader walking up onto the stage. And I've said it many times, but God's timing is perfect timing. And he got me back exactly when I needed to be. He ministered to me, but he had my back. And a lot of stuff like that happened to me during that time. And I started playing more and more nightclubs because I could. It was a talent God gave me, and I used it. Not the best environment, but I was there, and I met a man who lived in Nashville and was very successful, and he told me I was ready to go, but I didn't have the ways and means to just pack up and leave. And a band down the street at the competition to this nightclub said, in 6 months, we're all moving to Nashville. We already have work lined up. Sorry. So I gave notice at the club I was working at, was going to go down and work with them, because I said, this is my ticket to Nashville right here. Well, I got a phone call from the owner of the bar when he found out. And I told a friend at that time, I said, I'm not sure he's really warm and fuzzy about me going to work for his competition. And I jokingly said, well, if he doesn't want me to go, just let him give me like $3,000 and I'll just go. Anyway, he asked to talk to me, so I went and met with him the next day, and I told him, I said, Joe, you've been very, very good to me, and I'm not doing this to hurt you in any way, but I really want to move to Nashville, and this is the way I see to go. And he said, well, if you had the money just to go and not go down to work there, would you just go ahead and go? I said, absolutely, but I don't. He goes, would $3,000 be enough to get you there? And that's how I moved to Nashville. And 3 months later, I was playing at the Grand Ole Opry, where I played close to 300 times over the next few years. I worked with gold and platinum record-selling artists and was on Hee Haw and the Nashville Network and syndicated radio and television programs and toured around a lot of the free world. I think I got 4 more states before I've been to all 50, Canada, Europe, the Caribbean. I'm just getting warmed up. But anyway, 10 years after that, I ended up getting a job with Boxcar Willie at his theater in Branson, Missouri. Interesting story how the Lord worked in making that happen. I was walking through the house one Wednesday afternoon, and I heard a voice go, claim that job with Boxcar Willie in the name of Jesus. I went, okay. I claimed that job with Boxcar Willie in the name of Jesus. I got the job. Amen. And just went about my day and didn't give it another thought. I went and played in another bar that night. And we took a break. And a waitress came running up to me with a phone number on a cocktail napkin, said, your parents called. You need to call this number immediately. And I did. And it was Boxcar Willie's home phone number. And he offered me a job sight unseen over the telephone. And 2 weeks later, I was working for him. I suspect that his fiddle player had quit, and he was going to need another one. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he was having a phone call with his old fiddle player about whether he was coming back or not when the Lord asked me to claim that job. Can't confirm that. Anyway, fast forward several years later. My mother has passed away. Had been taking care of my dad because they had been married for 52 years and she died peacefully in her sleep, but hadn't been diagnosed with anything, so it was a surprise to us. So it hit him really hard. So I stayed with him until it got to be too much for me and his health got to be more than I could handle, so we put him in an assisted living home. I had been taking him to his church for that 2-year period of time, so I wasn't coming here. But after he got in there and I kind of caught up on my sleep because I hadn't had a good night's sleep in 2 years, I realized, I said, I'm going to go to Messiah. I can finally do that now. So I came here. And at the end of the service, I got ready to leave, and I walked out the door, and I felt a tap on my shoulder. It was Pastor Marty. And he says, do you have a minute, Charlie? I think I hear God has a word for you. Well, he had my attention, so I said, sure. He goes, I believe I hear God saying to me to tell you that he knows you've been carrying a heavy burden on your shoulder for a long time, and it's been difficult. And I believe I hear him saying that he's going to lift that burden off your shoulder from now on and carry it for you. My father passed away within an hour of that conversation. I haven't been able to narrow it down more than that. It might have been right that moment. I don't know. But I do know it was within an hour. So if he says something to you, listen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my. Okay, about a year after that, I'm here in the church. And during the service, I think it might have been around communion time, on the projectors was a graphic. And that graphic was Christ on the cross. And the view is like you're downhill looking up at him. And all of a sudden, that projection got very, very radiant. It's the best way I know how to explain it. And I heard a voice say, share in my pain, share in my suffering, so as to share in my glory. And at that time, the church was wrestling with the Episcopal Church pretty heavy, and I thought that was a word for this church because my life was going on pretty well at that time. Well, as it turns out, I think it was for me. 2 years later, the housing bubble burst. I lost 70-75% of my income within a month or two, and it never came back. And I had a 10-year period of lack and struggle and just an inability to find enough employment to get me by. It got really, really bad. I had never experienced anything remotely like it. I ended up sleeping in my car. I spent time in a homeless shelter. Never in a million years would I have ever dreamed before this happened that I would ever end up in that situation. And no matter what I did, no matter what I tried to do, I just kept running to a brick wall. And I really, after a while, it happened so much and so radically that I said, this has got to be supernatural. I'm just being blocked, 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 blocked. Every which way I turn, I'm being blocked. And I can remember just going, what do I do? What can I do? Everything I try, it just doesn't work. And I'm like, I remember one time I'm sitting in my car out in front of the place I was staying and going, this is not me. This is not who I am. I was banging on the steering wheel going, this is not me. I mean, I have an IQ higher than the average Harvard graduate. I'm sitting here sleeping in my car. What is going on here? And that went on for about 10 years. But it didn't last forever. A couple years ago, things started getting better. I met my bride, Karen, and my life started turning around drastically soon after that. And I'm a long way from where I was. But in that time, I never cursed God. I said, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. But I felt it wasn't going to last forever. But I said, I'm going to ride this out. You know, apparently I'm powerless to do anything about it. But I'm going to ride this out. So anyway, after 10 years of hell, an angel came into my life and things changed a lot. Anyway, another good point. June 1st of last year, Karen and I started doing devotionals together, and this one was on salvation, and there was a sinner's prayer at the end of it. And I asked Karen, I said, do you want to say this? And she said, yes, I do. And so she was saved in her own living room. And she's a Christian now. And I think it's really interesting because she told me later, she said, I've always believed the Word of God. I've always believed the Bible. I've always believed in Jesus. But nobody has ever asked me to be born again. And finally, somebody asked her, and she said yes. And so I have to ask, because this is my last Sunday here, if there's anybody here today that maybe nobody's ever asked you if you want to be a Christian, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if any of you here want to get to know Jesus and the life that he offers, which is eternal, and as good as it gets, far better than anything else, I'd ask you just to raise your hand. Anybody? And one of the pastors here, I'd love to at least just talk to you about it. Nobody's twisting any arms, but if you'd like to, I figure why not ask? It worked for Karen. Anyway, I don't see any hands, so I'll keep going on, but I'm sure that invitation is open anytime. And anyway, Karen and I are moving to Oregon. We're leaving in a little over a week. And this church and the people in it are going to be one of the things we will miss the most. But I really do believe in my heart that God's got a special plan for us when we get there. There's going to be a new beginning and a new process. A long time ago, the clearest I ever heard God's voice, he said to me that other people would want to use my talent for their glory. And I thought that was for the moment, but I really believe that's a lifetime thing. And I'm going to focus more on what's important to me and what gives God glory, and do things that I have a little more control over how things happen and not just hook up with somebody. And finally, just yesterday, I love the fact that this happened just yesterday. We have a bunch of items that we put online to offer for sale, cheap if anybody needs anything. But a man came over to buy an item, and it turns out he's a pretty prominent disc jockey of 46 years, works for Bob FM. Anyway, he lives not far away. His wife and him are the kids that left the house, and they were looking for a house that's a little smaller but still nice, and he used to rent a house two doors down from where we live. And Karen showed him the house, and he went home, and he sent her a text last night saying, what will you accept for the home? We haven't signed a contract with a realtor yet. If this man were to buy it, it would save us a whole lot of money. He said something about bringing his wife over, they're bicycling over this afternoon to have her look at it. So I think we're going to sit up here after communion, and we'd like some prayer. And if you'd like to pray with us about that, that could be a very, very awesome thing. And anyway, in summary, to sum it all up, good, bad, and indifferent, The one thing I can say is God was always there. Amen.
You going to pray?
Let's pick up the one more time.